full of cinematic garbage. One man will be your filter. Welcome to Movies Worth Seeing with your host, Michael Piccinieri.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode. Today we're covering Thor, Love and Thunder. Yeah, this movie should be called Thor, Guns N' Roses, or Thor, starring Guns N' Roses. Thor and Guns N' Roses. That would have been a nice name. Yeah, I don't know what it is with the director of this film seems to just have a massive hard-on for Guns N' Roses, because there's about five songs, all the favorites, all the greatest hits. And my first thought in this movie was, how did you make me hate Guns N' Roses? Like, I am a huge Guns N' Roses fan, and every time one of their songs came up in this film, I hated it for some reason. Anyway, let's get into the review. Let's get more into detail. Thor: Love and Thunder is the fourth Thor solo film. This comes after the events of Avengers Endgame and, you know, all that stuff. I feel with, like, these Marvel films, we've lost Captain America because now he's gotten old and, like, Chris Evans is pretty much done with that. Iron Man is gone. So all we really got is Spider-Man and Thor. These are kind of the two characters that I feel are, like, the most popular. And going into Phase 4, everyone was really excited for Thor: Love and Thunder. Me personally, Thor Ragnarok didn't really do it for me. Like, I don't think I even managed to finish that film because it just didn't work for me. I didn't really care that much about what was going on. I appreciated the visuals. I liked the more fun atmosphere of the film overall. I felt like the previous Thor movies were just taking things too serious, and this needed a bit more life injected into it. So Thor Ragnarok was, like, very divisive. I felt like a lot of friends of mine did not like that direction and hated Thor Ragnarok. As I go online and see all these movie reviewers, they're all saying Thor Ragnarok was the best. They really enjoyed it. There were things I did like about Thor Ragnarok. I did like at times when they used fun kind of popular rock songs, like seeing Led Zeppelin songs. I never see Led Zeppelin songs in movies, so that was cool. I felt like Thor had more fun, had the Hulk in it, which was cool. Like, the new characters, Jeff Goldblum being in the mix, all of it was really cool. The villain seemed like a threat. It had a lot going on for it, but for whatever reason, just didn't gel well for me. I think the humor was, like, it was fun, but it did this thing where it was a bit too fun, too much humor, you know? Like, I like a good balance where when there's emotional moments, when things get serious, the movie can pull back a bit and not just be spouting a bunch of, like, one-liners. And that's a common complaint with Marvel superhero movies, is that they just constantly throw one-liners and jokes at you. But, like, they're not even good jokes. They're usually quite lame and things that could easily be taken out. It's kind of like when you watch a film where you know the actors have been improvising and they think it's funny because they're improvising and they're going off of each other. They're bouncing off each other. To them, it's really funny. But when you put it in the movie, it doesn't make sense to the movie. It doesn't mix well. It ruins the flow because instead of us getting on with the story, we're watching a bunch of people improvise and laugh at their own jokes for 10 minutes. Unfortunately, I think this film kind of suffered from that. I don't know if these guys improvised, but there's a little bit too much dependency on jokes. And yeah. So if you loved Ragnarok, get ready for Marvel to just double down on it. Thor: Love and Thunder, let's put it this way, it's an unbridled mess of a film. Its humor just reminds me of an old dad trying to be relevant amongst his son and friends. And if you love Guns N' Roses, this film actually did make me hate hearing their music because they use these five songs in the film and constantly remind you of Guns N' Roses. Like, one kid has posters on the wall of them He only wants to be called Axel. At one point, I thought Axl Rose directed this film. Like, we get it. You love Guns N' Roses. But the problem is that this film uses these songs for every single action sequence. So as soon as action starts, in my head, I'm like, all right, they're going to play Sweet Child of Mine here. They're going to play Welcome to the Jungle. They're going to play November Rain, which part of me was a bit surprised that they actually used November Rain, but it just, I don't know, it just feels like lame. It's a very, like, lazy way to use songs. You know when they're going to play the song? It's used for a cheap pop and in an attempt to make the audience forget that what they are seeing is actually quite uninspired visuals and action sequences that are very unremarkable and, like, forgettable. I feel like Ragnarok even had more memorable, what's the word, iconography? Is that the word? I don't know. The visuals were more iconic in Ragnarok. It just had it had something that was a bit more memorable that I was like, ah. Oh. Like, I remember seeing Thor and Hulk fight, and I was like, oh, the design of the costumes, Thor himself with the short hair, he looks pretty cool. He gets the eye taken out. Like, that stuff was badass. Nothing in this film kind of had that same vibe where I felt it was memorable. I found myself cringing as the film went on with these action sequences. Like, a clear example of the misuse of songs is when the song November Rain came on near the end of the film. They select the exact part of the song when it starts to get heavy in the outro. And it's like, you could have done something a bit more creative than that, you know? Use an earlier section of the song to build up to this explosive finale, which is what you were kind of going for. Build up a crescendo. Like, the song is a very slow song at first. It starts with this build up to this epic kind of conclusion. Use that with what's happening on the screen. But instead, the editing of the film just feels like someone just grabbing a song and just putting it over whatever the action is. It's not like it's in sync with what's happening. One of the positives of this film, and a lot of people said this to me where they were like, yeah, Christian Bale's in it. Christian Bale's good. Christian Bale's the clear highlight. And they're not wrong. Christian Bale is fantastic. But I mean, like, when isn't he fantastic, you know? I mean, this dude was great even in mediocre films like Terminator Salvation. So yet again, Bale elevates a character that gets a pretty bare bones backstory. He's haunting as a threat. He commands a presence on screen that only a gifted actor like Bale can do. He can also emit sympathy whenever the script demands it. Like, one minute you'll be hating the guy, the next minute you're feeling nothing but sympathy, like you actually are shedding a tear for him. It's incredible the way the range of Bale as an actor is something I would aspire to if I was, like, taking acting a little bit more seriously than I do. Then Bale is the gold standard, and he's on a completely different level, I feel, to the other actors in this film. Not that the other actors are doing bad, but he's different. He's going for a more focused, a more sharp, intense, serious performance, portrayal. And it's quite a contrast to Chris Hemsworth just playing this bumbling idiot and Natalie Portman just playing whatever she played in the other rom-coms she's been in. It just feels like Bale has more of a want as a character. He seems to be more focused on some kind of objective. He seems to have a stronger motivation than even the protagonist. Like, I would have wanted to see a movie about that guy more than Thor. Yeah. Like, I found myself just totally invested in him. And by the end of the film, yeah, I just wanted to know more about his character. In fact, the film's opener that sets up his motivation of why he kills gods. His name is Gore the Butcher. He's like a butcher of gods. Like, his motivation for why he kills the gods almost feels out of place tonally to the rest of the film, because the opener just seemed like it had a clear purpose, whereas the rest of the film just gets lost in just throwing jokes at you constantly. It's like when you're on the computer and you get pop-up ads thrown at you constantly. It feels like that. This film just tries too hard to meet some kind of quota that Disney has for how many jokes can be squeezed onto one page. The worst part is the success rate of these jokes is, in my mind, probably a 30% average. Sometimes I found myself laughing, not because a joke was well constructed, but just because of how stupid something was or how ridiculously shit I thought it was. Like when you laugh at a funeral, not because you're amused by the circumstances, but you're just confused by what you're meant to do, what emotions you're meant to express at that moment. There were lots of times where I paused, found myself reflecting and thinking to myself, was that a punchline or was that a setup to a joke? All right, whatever. And by the time I had actually worked it out, they were already five jokes had gone, come and gone. I think the main problem with Thor Love and Thunder is the film just presents Thor as the biggest idiot and I just can't relate to him. I could never understand, like after watching this film, how he came to be worthy of holding that hammer in the first place. Like Chris Hemsworth, he does the best he can with the material and most of the time he actually can elevate the comedy more than it even deserves. But I just found his character annoying because he has to be on like all the time. He's like a comedian just plowing through this mediocre set, not really like reading the room and changing or adapting. And it's a shame because if the film would just stop for a second and let the audience breathe and kind of understand what's going on, there's glimpses, there's sparks where you see that there is some interesting stuff that the film wants to do, but it's just buried deep under a mess of plot inconsistencies and just rushes in, I don't know, I guess like a rush to get to the finish line. Moments that should have a bit more time to breathe don't get that. Emotional moments are rushed over, or by the time we get to a serious emotional moment, we don't even know if it's going to be a serious moment or a tearjerker because we've been programmed the whole movie to expect a joke every 5 minutes. So we kind of think to ourselves, I'm not going to get all invested in this. I know there's going to be some one-liner thrown at me. Yeah. If the film would just stop and pull the Marvel stock superhero jokes off the conveyor belt and just let the movie breathe a bit, I could actually enjoy this. As with most Marvel films, the characters are so busy making these stupid jokes and one-liners that at some points they actually let the villain get away. Like I swear, at one point in this film, the characters are just joking around and Gore like escapes. And I thought to myself, you guys are the worst superheroes. Like when emotional moments require our investment, we can't be bothered to care because we know the characters are just going to fuck it up and make a stupid joke or a giant goat will start screaming. The movie just reminds me of friends that will make a joke, get a laugh, and then for the rest of the day, they have to squeeze every bit of juice out of that joke to the point of nausea. For example, in this film, Thor's hammer is now in the hands of Jane. And there's lots of jokes that imply Thor has this intimate relationship with his old hammer and his new weapon, the Stormbreaker. They got like this kind of like a love triangle. And so he acts like a jealous ex-lover. It's actually really funny at first, but after like the 30th joke about it, I've just got my head in my hands and I'm begging for the film to stop. And just move on and let it go. Move on to new jokes. It just, yeah. It's like there's a threshold where it's like, oh, this is funny. And the film just exceeds the threshold and goes into cringe. And it's a shame. You just needed someone to be there to kind of be like, no, no, just let the joke die. Move on. Another moment that was great, as we saw in the trailers, I love the joke where Thor just gets stripped naked by Zeus. Isn't it funny, you know? Not only is this just super lame and it's been done to death in like countless films, but don't you find it a bit of a hilarious, you know, gender double standard? Because if this was a woman in this scenario, it'd be fucked up and traumatic. But because it's Chris Hemsworth, it's like, oh, it's this feel-good popcorn moment. Like, oh, my God, yay, Chris Hemsworth's penis. Yay, I wanted to see more of that. Yeah, it was a weird moment where I just didn't – something didn't feel right. I was like, this feels like a joke that would have been done in, like, the early 2000s, and now with everything, it's one of those things where you look at and you're like, oh, yeah, it's lame. It's lame. If you like seeing Chris Hemsworth naked and, you know, all bulky and topless and all that jazz, if you like looking at Chris Hemsworth muscles, then, you know, you'll be in for a treat because there's plenty of shots of his biceps, of his chest, of his ass, like everything gets covered. There's scenes in this film where I, no joke, I thought it looked like they were just recording the actors doing rehearsals, trying to work out what the hell the script is, what the hell the story is. Like, they're talking gibberish and explaining all this exposition. I just found myself asking the people next to me, like, did you guys catch that? Like, what the hell is going on? They're going where? What are they doing now? Oh, okay, great, whatever. Like, the conversations are like, oh, my God, we need the hammer of Odin. Oh, to get the hammer of Odin, we got to take the conduit. Oh, to create a conduit, we're going to get the screaming goats. Oh, my God, but the screaming goats might not be powerful enough, so we'll need the torch of Saigon or some crap like that. I was like, and then the next scene, they just do it anyway, and it's done. So there's all this exposition for something that takes 2 seconds to sort out. It's so just annoying. By the way, can we not ever put surprises in films? Is that just like a thing that we can't do anymore? The moment when Jane Foster is revealed to be worthy of holding Thor's hammer, like, I thought it was stupid. The movie tries to explain it, justify it, but it just didn't work for me. I know there's comics and stuff about it, but I don't care. It just doesn't work. I don't think it works. It just feels really out of left field, and I feel like the franchise has set it up that it's meant to be a big deal, but yet this film just spoiled this moment of Jane having the hammer and having the power that I just didn't understand that. I felt like this film had a cool moment. This would have been a cool moment. Like, if you're not invested in the franchise or whatever, like, it's a cool moment, but the fact that the trailer spoiled it ruined it. Imagine if, not to say that this moment was on par with this, but imagine if in Endgame, the trailer for Endgame actually showed Captain America having the power to hold Thor's hammer. It's like, you'd think to yourself, I really would have wanted to see that surprise in the theater. I don't know. I don't know if maybe they just weren't confident enough, so they had to put the stuff with Jane to let everyone know that was like the central plot. I don't think they needed to, though. But anyway, it could have been a great WTF moment. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, speaking of Jane, Thor and Jane's relationship follows every will-they-won't-they trope in the book. And to be honest, these two, like, have, they bicker and argue like two high school teenagers that just can't decide if they should go to the prom together or not. Like, a lot of conversations that are just like, well, I left. No, I was the one that left the relationship. Well, I left you a note. So technically I left. And I was like, oh my God, aren't you like 40? Like, do 40-year-olds really talk about relationships like this? Like, come on. This is something like teenagers say. I think I was more interested in the love triangle between Thor and his weapons, to be honest. There was more chemistry there. There were moments I was absolutely celebrating when certain characters were on the verge of, or I thought they were dead, and I was legit freaking cheering. There was one character in particular that I was just so sick of his shit that when I thought he died, I was almost giving a standing ovation. And my partner was next to me and she was like, Michael, they're the good guys. Why the hell are you cheering? And I was like, I don't give a crap. I fucking hate these characters. Like, I was like, kill them all. I don't care. Just kill off all these characters. Yeah. So overall, I think Thor Love and Thunder is just a typical Marvel film. It's nothing memorable. it's lots of bright colors, over-the-top action scenes, and, you know, the usual over-reliance of CGI, and just comedy that works too hard to distract the audience from the lack of a compelling story. These films at this point are just McDonald's food to me. They're awful and unhealthy for my body and soul. But if I'm starving, I'll eat it and immediately just regret my choice. Thor Love and Thunder gets a 2.5 naked Chris Hemsworths out of 5. I think overall this film just needed a bit more confidence in its characters. It needed to let things grow and needed to build things subtly rather than rushing over things. I think that there was potential for more interesting stuff between Jane and Thor, especially giving Jane like the powers of Thor very suddenly and abruptly. There were things I liked where they were kind of alluding that she doesn't know how to be a superhero yet and she's not fully comfortable with that stuff. That would have been great to see more of. The dialogue just doesn't have this smooth flow. There's points in time where I legit just feel like Chris is reading lines because the lines, I don't know how you would do some of these lines and make them convincing. Honestly, I think if they were to make a new Thor movie, they need to just focus on the story first and then add jokes. Add jokes that are situational, that are related to what's going on. But yeah, Thor needs to go back to like a threat, a serious threat. I think going forward, they need to just take the character more seriously. Go back to like the older films and see like how Thor was in those films and what worked, what didn't work. I remember watching Age of Ultron and or even the first Avengers film, and Thor would have some funny lines, but nowhere near like now. Like he wasn't as over the top with the delivery. He was a bit more subtle. His jokes were, it meant something when he made a joke. And the joke was usually that he doesn't understand the ways of, you know, our world, our human world, because he's a god, he's a fish out of water. But these films just keep going back to Asgard and all these other planets and where there's gods and shit, and it's boring. I think the other thing as well is if they do make another film, maybe get the rights to more than one musical artist so we don't have to hear the same songs from the same band over and over again. Unless maybe that's a thing that Disney's doing now where they just, every movie is just going to be one band for the whole soundtrack so that they just have to pay one band a bit. Or maybe the band pays them. The other thing as well that would be nice to see going forward is villains that just have a bit more room to breathe, a bit more of a purpose. It'd be nice to see Thor go back to Earth, I feel. I don't know. People might disagree. I think personally, get Thor back on Earth because I'm kind of sick of all the CGI planets and crap. I don't care about any of these characters really. You know, Jane was gone for ages and no one was really that annoyed that she was gone. No one really cared that much that she was gone. So Thor needs to, I guess, similar to what Ragnarok was, now people know what to expect. And they need a newer, kind of fresher formula and just pull back on the humor. Or if they do, I don't know, maybe make it more meta. You know, acknowledge some of these annoying tropes with superhero movies since we're about, what, 200 movies in? The good thing is I feel like a fair bit of stuff that I did not like in this film would not carry over into another film. On the bright side, this film was a lot better than Jurassic World, and it wasn't as long as Jurassic World, so that was good too. So yeah, guys, those are my thoughts on Thor Love and Thunder. If you liked the show, feel free to leave us a review. And actually, this brings up a good point. I totally forgot, we actually have a review. I know. Oh my God. Yes. So I am going to read this review out. If you review the show, chances are I will read out your review on the show. So yeah, man, why not? Anyway, we got CJ Port Diddley. He writes, he gave me 5 stars. Thank you, CJ. He says, 5-star listening. A refreshing take on all things movies. Michael and his guests provide a funny and unique take on the movie genre. The podcast is easily listened to and provides some fun insights into the latest movies. Thank you, CJ, for your review. And yeah, guys, if you'd like to leave me a review, feel free. I will read it on the show. And that's me, guys. So, ciao, ciao.
Thank you for listening to Movies Worth Seeing. Make sure to like and share the show and leave a review. You can follow us on Instagram at Michael Pish Podcasting and watch movie reviews, audience reaction videos, and other fun content on our YouTube channel at Michael Pishinary.